Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
When we realize that everything we've got, every breath we take, is an unmerited gift from a lavishly loving God, that prompts us literally to fall to our knees and to say thank you.
No matter what our differences, we're all part of one American family. We are one nation under God. That core tenet of our American experience has guided us from the earliest days of our founding, and it will guide us to a future that's even brighter than today.
Prayer is for prayer. It's not for evangelism. It's not for getting the warm fuzzies. It's not for community cohesion. Prayer is for prayer.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
Well, we all suspected that this case was going to end up here in the highest court in the land, and it has. Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby Stores Incorporated has found its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court has decided that it will hear the case. What will it decide, and what is the central issue? Well, that's something that many people are debating, even what's at stake here when it comes to the so-called HHS mandate and religious freedom, not only of individuals, but of corporations and of businesses as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of December. Lori Windham joins us from the Beckett Fund to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to hear the Hobby Lobby legal challenge to the Health and Human Services mandate. Then Pastor Ted Giese will be with us. We're going to, the movie The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, comes out next week. And it's the second of two. And the first one has just come out in an extended version. And according to Pastor Ted Giese, the extended version may have more religious symbolism in it than even the original book by J.R.R. Tolkien. We'll find out what he means by that as we talk about the movie An Unexpected Journey, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey with him a little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc. Gay divorce is in the news because a Mississippi couple married in San Francisco wants to have Mississippi recognize their marriage by granting them a divorce. We'll sort that out with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse of the Ruth Institute. Pastor Heath Curtis will conclude our series on the Christ-centered life. We'll talk about vocation, your work, not just at work, but your work all throughout your life. And then Bob Perry will join us. We're going to talk about the moral realism and the moral relativism of the television program that just concluded a long run as, well, a very addicting series, Breaking Bad. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave your questions or comments for Bob Perry in the last half hour of the program on the moral worldview of Breaking Bad at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Lori Windham is Senior Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. Lori, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you for having me on again.
What is the central question or issue that the court is going to be considering in the Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby Stores Incorporated case?
The core question in this case is whether you give up your constitutional right to religious freedom simply because you open a family business.
How has Hobby Lobby kind of found itself here on the steps of the Supreme Court?
Well, Hobby Lobby is a family-owned business. The Green family are devout Christians. They have said from the beginning that they want to operate this business consistent with biblical principles. They've done that in the way Hobby Lobby runs. You can't go to Hobby Lobby on Sunday because they're closed to give their employees a day of rest. They pay their employees starting off 90% of a minimum wage in order to provide well for them. You'll see religious merchandise in the stores. They've always tried to live out their faith through the way they run this business. Now, the one thing they won't do is pay for potentially life-terminating drugs and devices. That means the morning-after pill, the week-after pill, and certain IUDs. The federal government says they have to do that, that they have no religious freedom right that would prevent them from doing that. And if they don't do that, they have to pay very large fines. And so here we are.
Is this just a dispute about whether a company or a corporation can claim religious liberty or a kind of a conscience exemption from the HHS mandate, or does it have implications for individual religious liberties too?
I think it has implications for both. What the government is saying is that a company, if it's a for-profit company, can't have any religious freedom rights, and that individual Americans can't have any religious freedom rights in the way that the federal government regulates their businesses. So no matter what the government asks that business to do, it shouldn't matter to you because you're just a shareholder. Never mind that this is your family business. Never mind that you're the one who has to run it day to day. They're just doing it to a corporation. They're not harming you. And that's the argument that our federal government's going to be making to the Supreme Court.
What is – you're not going to be sitting in the Supreme Court making the arguments, but what do you think the best response to that argument is?
I think the best response is that Americans do not give up their constitutional rights just because they earn a living. The Supreme Court has recognized religious freedom for individuals, especially individuals going out and living their lives and earning a living for many years. And so we believe the Supreme Court should continue to recognize that, and we believe they should recognize it for family businesses like Hobby Lobby.
What's any indication from previous decisions that the court has rendered or heard, what's an indication of any precedent that may have been set for the court in this respect?
Well, there's some very good precedent on our behalf. The last time this law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, was before the Supreme Court, they ruled 9-0 in favor of the religious group there. So we think that's very encouraging. That was not a case involving a businessman, but they have heard a case involving a businessman. Back in the 1980s, there was an Amish business owner who objected to some things the federal government was doing, and the Supreme Court heard his case. They said that, yes, he did have religious freedom rights. He did have rights under the Free Exercise Clause, but in that case, the government's interests were so strong that they could overcome his First Amendment rights.
Okay, then. What happens if the court rules in favor of Sebelius?
That's something I don't even want to think about. It would depend what the court said. If they said that you lose your First Amendment rights when you go into business, that would set a very dangerous precedent because that would mean that businesses of all kinds, not just Christian groups like the Green Family and Hobby Lobby, but say a kosher butcher, a halal market, a Bible publisher like Tyndale House, which is involved in another one of these cases, all those groups would lose their religious freedom rights, and there would be no religious freedom limits on what the government is able to ask them to do.
And if the court decides in favor of Hobby Lobby, does that in effect eviscerate the HHS mandate, at least in this narrow respect?
It would protect the Green Family and Hobby Lobby. It would not get rid of the entire mandate. That would still be in effect for secular businesses, but it would protect religious business owners from having to comply with this mandate. They would be able to receive exemptions from this law.
This is something that people saw coming even before the HHS mandate was put into effect. They predicted it would happen. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking about this, not you and I, but we were talking about this on the program in those days before the HHS mandate was issued, and the kind of line that was coming out of the Health and Human Services Department was, no, this is not going to be a problem. This is not going to be a problem for any kind of businesses at all. What do you make of those claims now with a little bit of retrospect?
I think that certainly proved to be wrong. There are now over 100 different plaintiffs who are challenging this mandate, and the government has been losing. The last count is something like 30-7 across all courts. The federal appeals courts are 3-2 in favor of religious business owners. And there are also many different nonprofit groups, religious groups, who are challenging this mandate. We're going to see a second wave of litigation based on that. So if the federal government thought that they could do this without causing any controversy, then they were certainly wrong.
Do you think that the court ought to at least consider the fact that the lower courts have been overwhelmingly in favor of religious liberties on questions like this?
I hope they will consider that fact. We had a great decision from the Tenth Circuit in the Hobby Lobby case. There have been a couple other very strong decisions in favor of religious freedom, and I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court will be considering those when it makes its decision.
Why, in your opinion, does the Sebelius administration, the HHS, why do they continue to press this?
That's a very good question. I think it's hard for them to make a good argument since they have handed out so many exemptions from this law. I think that they just have dug in and refused to recognize the fact that there are religious objectors, that American society is not uniform, and that we have to deal with, and as a nation, figure out how to reconcile differing religious beliefs.
If you were to make a prediction with only a minute here, what do you think the court's going to decide?
I never like to predict a court that I'm in front of, but I will say that we are hopeful. The mandate has been winning overwhelmingly in the courts, and we're hopeful that we will have some good news to share in June.
Lori Windham is senior counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Beckett Fund at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Lori, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, thank you for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Ted Giese. The movie, it's a second part of the story that's being told by Peter Jackson of The Hobbit. They got you all the way to the mountain, and now they're going to encounter the great nemesis, the dragon. But before that, the release of the extended version of the first Hobbit movie, An Unexpected Journey, has come out. And according to our guest in the next few minutes of the program, Pastor Ted Giese, there's material in there in the extended version that really highlights the religious overtones, the religious symbolism there. Now, we all know the story that J.R.R. Tolkien said he wasn't writing a religious allegory or an allegory of any kind. But is there perhaps unexpected allegory, unintended allegory in there anyway, especially in the new film version? Pastor Ted Giese will review the movie The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey with us right after this.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.